with heavenly love inspire. Your sacred healing message bring to sanctify us as we sing. Giver of grace, descend from high. Your sevenfold gifts to us supply. Help us eternal truths receive and practice all that we believe. Give us yourself that we may see the glory of the Trinity.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Preserve me, O God.
For in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord, you are my Lord.
I have no good apart from you.
As for the saints in the land,
they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight.
The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply.
Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips.
The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup.
You hold my lot.
The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places.
Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance.
I bless the Lord who gives me counsel.
In the night also my heart instructs me.
I have set the Lord always before me.
Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken.
Therefore, my heart is glad.
And my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure.
For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol.
Or let your Holy One see corruption.
You make known to me the path of life.
In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. To God on
Jesus' birth. We praise and bless you, Father, your holy name we sing. Our thanks for your great glory, Lord God, our heavenly King. To you, O soul begotten, the Father's Son we pray. O Lamb of God, our Savior, you take our sins away. Have mercy on us, Jesus, receive our heartfelt cry. Where you in power are seated, at God's right hand on high. For you alone are holy, you only are the Lord. Forever and forever, be worshipped and adored. You with the Holy Spirit alone are Lord Most High. In God the Father's glory, amen, our glad reply.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you good things that surpass all understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you, that we, loving you above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The Old Testament reading for this Sunday is from 1 Kings chapter 19. There he came to a cave and lodged in it, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, Abel Malohal, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and as this reading will be the text for our sermon. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the Alleluia in verse. The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. It is printed on the inside cover of the hymnal. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
I know my faith is found. Be unafraid, abide.
as I was sitting there and pondering on the hymn and also the little message for the children and thinking about the flag and our country, I really privately, in my private thoughts and prayers, every time I hear our volunteer fire department, I give thanks to God for them and also pray for them. And I hope you like this okay, but I think every time, because we have a member, I think, who had to leave for that, every time we hear that during a service, I'm going to stop at that point, not in the middle of a hymn or prayer, but when there's a time, I'm going to pray for those going out at that time and for those who are helping. I'm just short. And I do this all the time privately, but I thought, Carl, let's do it in the congregation. We're intimately connected with them and their service. Dear Father in heaven, please continue to be with our firefighters and emergency crews who are out right now. Be with them, protect them, and be with those they are helping. In the name of Jesus, amen. The sermon today is based on this reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And there is something among theology students, pastoral students, especially Lutherans, a distinction. It's called the theology of the cross and the theology of glory. Two different theologies, and Martin Luther, at the time of the Reformation, first noted this, and it continues to be a helpful way of thinking and thinking about our salvation in Jesus Christ and so forth. In this passage, it's pretty clear what is so important to Paul is this theology of the cross. I reread that 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22, 23, 24, and 25. For the Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you like to follow along and fill in the blanks in the sermon note, it's on the back page of the bulletin. God's wisdom is foolishness to the unbeliever. This is what Paul clearly states here. It's a mystery, but it's a spiritual truth. And also, the world's unbelieving wisdom is foolishness to God. Now, normally, we might think as humans, just in our normal human thinking, what we think is wise must be wise to God. What we think is smart must be also smart to God. But actually, Paul says it's the opposite. God has a wisdom that appears foolish to those who don't believe. And the wisdom of those who don't believe is a foolishness to God. In that section, he gives two examples of perceived human wisdom. And on the Jews, Paul said, they tended, the Jews in his day, and certainly the Jews that listened to Jesus and the ones that disagreed with Jesus and debated with Jesus, they kept saying to Jesus, and Paul experienced this too, oh, do a miracle, then we'll believe. Do a miracle, then we'll believe. And Jesus wouldn't be tested like that. And he responded in different ways. The sign that we'll give to this generation is a sign of Jonah, who was in the earth in the belly of the fish for 3 days, prophesying his own death, being buried for 3 days and rising from the dead. And Jesus said, oh, a wicked generation requires a sign. To God, it's foolishness to demand a miracle to say, I won't believe unless you do this miracle that I say. You have to obey me, God. That's foolishness. That's not faith. So some respond like that. And then Paul also said, Greeks demand wisdom. The Greeks and the Greek culture of Paul's day, they liked different human theories and philosophical ways of looking at life. And they didn't all agree. There was different ways of looking at life, different Greek philosophies. But that way of thinking in the Greek culture, especially at that time and their traditions, they said, prove it out to me. Prove it to me philosophically how Jesus is the Christ or the Son of God. Prove it to me point by point. A equals B and B equals C and C equals D, and therefore A equals D. Prove that out like that in human wisdom. And sometimes people of various cultures also think like that. If God will prove to me logically so I can perceive all the mysteries, then I will believe in Jesus. Sometimes humans think like that. But Paul says he would only preach the wisdom of Jesus' death and resurrection. That is God's wisdom. He said, we preach Christ crucified. That wisdom from God makes no sense to the unbeliever, makes no sense in the signs that people are. You demand a miracle. Well, Jesus dying on a cross? Demand philosophical proof. Jesus dying on a cross like a thief? That makes no sense. And you remember that Jesus died publicly. Everybody saw that. It was the Roman soldiers carried out that sentence. It was a public execution. But you remember, Paul says about 500 people saw the risen Jesus. Not everybody saw the risen Jesus. Not Pilate or King Herod or the high priest who held Jesus on trial. They did not see the risen Jesus Christ. The resurrection is by faith. It's not a sign that the whole world saw. It's by faith. It's a message that those who saw Jesus alive would carry out. So that public crucifixion and the testimony that he's risen from the dead, that is the wisdom that Paul would stick to. That was the wisdom of God to bring faith and to save. This, in part, is what is the theology of the cross. The things that seem weak, the things that make Jesus look defeated, or Christianity doesn't look so beautiful, that's the theology of the cross. God brings salvation into something that was just awful, the crucifixion of Jesus, but that's the victory of God. And so faith believes in what Jesus has done for us, and knows that blesses us and forgives us and gives us life. But in a real way, it's hidden. It's hidden. Because not all Christians are rich or wealthy or well or successful. And so, but you believe in that Jesus crucified. If you believe in that, why aren't you rich? Why aren't you wealthy? Why aren't you healthy? I believe in Jesus. It's not me that proves it. It's what Jesus has done for me, the theology of the cross, the teaching of the cross. And Paul said nothing but that. In our own lives, truth and wisdom from God's word is often just the opposite. Often just the opposite of the world's truth and wisdom. And as Christians, this is very important for us to continue to think about. Because as humans, we like the proof of measurements. I was poor, now I'm wealthy. Look, I have more money, I can count. I was not successful, now I'm successful. Look how I've arrived. We like to measure things like that. And so too often we're tempted to put that into our faith. Put that into our belief system and think, well, God hasn't healed me. Well, God hasn't blessed me with money, so that must mean that God doesn't love me. And maybe I should be like Elisha and run away to a cave. That first reading. He says, everybody's against me. They've all, so God, where are you? There's nobody left. It's just me. Well, it wasn't just him. He said, God told him there's 7,000 others who have not worshiped Baal. But Elijah was measuring things and being successful prophet and being respected and being revered, but instead he was being hunted down. But the truth was the opposite. He was God's honored prophet who spoke God's word. And God had to remind him, no, you are my prophet. Go back. Anoint these two kings, and Elisha shall follow you. Not as you're measuring. You're measuring in the world's way of thinking. But God wanted him to believe and trust in him. Another example is just the Luke 12 reading that I had printed out in the bottom of that back cover underneath that outline. I'll read that out loud and just point out two things. From Luke 12, someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This is another example. The theology of glory and thinking, I can measure these things. I must be okay. I must be safe now. So take it easy. I'm okay. Not thinking anything about God. Not thinking anything about obeying God, honoring God, but just thinking, I'm okay. Look at all I have. And in the parable, Jesus said, that's foolishness. What you need is to be rich with God. And Paul teaches us to be rich in God. What to be rich with God, to be in God's favor, is Christ crucified. That is what I need. And we can be fooled by the world, or Satan can mislead us to think these things of the world that you can measure that seem to be wonderful and seem to have power and honor and security. But in fact, Paul's teaching, Jesus' parable, and all of Scripture teaches us, don't look to these things whether you have them or you don't. That's not your security. Rest in God. Rest in Christ crucified. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for sending your Son, Jesus, who saved us with his suffering and death and resurrection. And we ask you to continually, every day, increase our faith in this salvation that he has gained for us. It's not how much we have or how little we have. It is Jesus. Give us confidence in that, joy in that. And we ask you to also help us to speak this to others. My friend, my family, your security, your safety is not in this or that, but in Jesus. Trust in him. Give these words and faith to us every day. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear Lord, receive our offerings and our gifts. We recognize that you have given us so many things in life. Receive these, multiply them for your honor and glory and for the good of your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. We sing. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God of hosts, you speak to us in the low whisper of your word. Do not let us despise it, but make us hear it gladly with reverent and holy awe. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, cast the cloak of ministry upon a new generation of pastors in our midst, that we may continue to hear your word and receive your gifts, and that other lost souls may be caught up in the gracious nets of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, give us faith to let down the nets of your word in our daily vocations, and trust your Son to do his gracious work through poor sinners like us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, be with all who serve in professions of vocations of arts, medicine, education, agriculture, military, chaplaincy, law enforcement and emergency services, manufacturing, retail services, utility work, construction, trades and sciences, that God would grant them skill and integrity, safety and success in the performance of the responsibilities and valued services in our communities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, bless President Biden and all others in national, state, and local positions who govern us in your stead. Keep them from the folly of opposing your church, your word, and your church, and give them wisdom to govern justly in accord with your will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, bless Margaret, Bernita, Carolyn, Charlotte, Loretta, Kathy, Carlin, Shirley, Bill, Jason, Sue, Gary, Bryston, Keith, Brad, David, Don, Denny, Ruby, Jeff, Pastor Nierman, Pastor Shirey, and Pastor Berlin. And we give thanks to you for the healing of Darlene Meyer's hand. And all who suffer in body or mind in our midst, preserve them in the truth that since Christ is at their right hand, they cannot be shaken. Make their flesh dwell securely and give them peace in the promise that you will not abandon their souls to Sheol. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, your Son is our chosen portion and our cup, forgiving and nourishing us with his body and blood. Grant that we may receive him humbly and in faith, that you may hold our lot secure in Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament printed in the bulletin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we may not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. For the forgiveness of sins, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
To the table of the Lord. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, which is given for you. Take, eat, the body of Christ, given for you. take, drink the very blood of Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Take, drink the blood of Jesus, shed for you. Now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
The death of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Welcome to the table of the Lord. The congregation, please stand. First, we have the general communion dismissal. Now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Amen. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
You're invited to stand or sit for a final hymn.
Storm through the night, lead me on. to God.